Well, we're going to talk today about Thanksgiving. We're going to look at a part of chapter 5 in Ephesians. We've been doing a series in Ephesians, and this is sort of a continuation of Paul giving a description of the Christian life. And in this section, Paul lists five things in general. He talks about a lot of stuff, but there's five things that are proper for Christians to pursue as they live their lives for Christ. One is giving thanks always. Second one is don't be deceived. Third one is understand what pleases the Lord. And the fourth is be filled with the Holy Spirit. These are not so much actions to be taken as much as attitudes and understandings to pursue and develop as we follow Christ. We're going to look at them in order over the next few weeks. Let me read the whole section that contains all these five items. It is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which is out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually impure or sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray for this message. Oh Lord, you know me, and we pray this morning that you would overwhelm my weakness, my frailty, that we would come to understand you better, Lord. We would hear the message you have for us, and we will come to love you more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first two verses in what I just read calls us to be imitators of the character of God as displayed in the life and love of Christ. And then in verse 3, Paul tells us more about what this looks like in a life. Ephesians 5, 3 and following says this, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness might not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. This is kind of some insight into the culture and the temptations that the Ephesians had to deal with 2,000 years ago. Do you see anything familiar? they're still around today. Sexual immorality was rampant and generally tolerated in Paul's time. This is more and more the case with our culture today. And impurity has to do with self-indulgently pursuing human passions and lusts. It's basically doing what we want to do, what we feel like doing, whenever we want to do it. This temptation lives in every one of us. And covetousness, which Paul tells us is idolatry, has to do with passionately wanting and seeking earthly things to such an extent that it displaces God as the priority of our lives. This thing is called materialism today, where people focus on getting stuff in this world and they invest their whole life in that rather than in their relationship with Christ. Paul says these things must not even be named. We're not supposed to speak about them in any kind of favorable light. And then Paul gets kind of specific about it. He says, let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. Not only are we not supposed to act this way, we're not supposed to think about these things in a positive way, we're not to speak about them either. Because our words can sometimes be more damaging than our actions. Any of us who have spent any time at all interacting with the world at large, the secular world, which we're a little out of practice right now because of COVID, but some of us are still interacting with the world. We've been the recipient of this kind of talk on a regular basis. It can feel kind of lonely when somebody says in a way like, oh, you know this is true, and then they tell some story and you just kind of stand there and don't participate, or you have to walk away. I was in the construction business for 30 years. You got a lot of this. Eventually, they learned that I walked away. Paul warns us that those who continue to sin in these ways don't belong to Christ, and they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. But tucked in the middle of this section of things we're not supposed to do, in verse 4, Ephesians 5:4, it says this, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. He tells us what to do in the midst of his list here. And then in verse 20, it says that we are to be giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Christian life is a life of thanksgiving, continual. Well, what exactly is thanksgiving anyway? Is it that courteous thing? It's a cultural etiquette to thank people, to say thank you. We have a very courteous culture, or used to have anyway. It's fairly common to hear parents tell children, now say thank you to that person. Or does Thanksgiving maybe have a deeper meaning? The Greek word used here is eucharistia, which is very close to the word Eucharist, which is a name for the Lord's Supper. It has to do with thanks, and that's true. But right in the middle of the word is the word for grace. Grace is something that we didn't earn and that we don't deserve. Thanksgiving towards God is acknowledging with appreciation our love that we have received a favor or a gift that we didn't deserve. The enemy of thanksgiving is believing that we deserve stuff, that something is our right. We deserve that thing, so it's our right. Have you ever noticed that rights seem to be multiplying in our culture? There are people claiming things as their right today that used to be considered a gift or charity. If a person is absolutely convinced that certain things that they need or they want are their rights, then they deserve it, right? They don't have to be humble and ask for these things, they can demand them because it's their right. Often they do this with anger, like, why don't I have it now? By calling things rights, we don't really have to give thanks to anyone, because it's so humbling to have to give thanks to people and acknowledge that it's a free gift. Just look on our news, daily news, or however you see news. It used to be news at night, but it's not anymore. And you will see angry people demanding their rights. The natural inclination of human beings is to believe we're entitled. We deserve things that we want and need because of who we are. The place where you really see this, sort of in an unvarnished form, is babies. There's a lot of things you see in kind of an unvarnished form in babies. How many babies ask with gratitude, humbly, for a toy or a meal or pretty much anything they want? Children have to be taught gratitude. I talked about that, you know, parents teaching children to say thank you. And the reason is that naturally, sin-damaged humans think they're at the center of the universe. They deserve stuff because of who they are. Delusions of grandeur abound in the heart of every person. The extent to which these thoughts control a life depends on how well a person understands themselves and understands the world around them. An ungrateful heart and attitude comes from thinking we're entitled to stuff we don't really deserve. We think we deserve stuff. We deserve respect, maybe money, getting what we ask for, because, and there's a long list that follows after this, because either we earned it, or maybe we're smarter than the other guy, or we're stronger, or we're better looking, or we're more gifted, or we have wealthy parents. I mean, the list, there's a number of things. Because of who I am, I'm entitled to certain things. Or maybe we just think it's our right to get stuff because we're taught that we deserve it. We're taught that we deserve a lot of things in our society. To teach someone that everything they need and everything they want is their right breeds discontent and cancels out gratitude and thankfulness. The high self-esteem movement gives birth to an attitude of entitlement, and the millennials sometimes are referred to that way, that they seem to act like they're entitled. And that leads some people to demand what they want with anger, rather than humbly ask with gratitude. There was a woman who graduated from college and applied for a job in the company that my son worked for. And she was qualified but had no experience. And she thought she would be paid at the high level for her position. I think it was a programmer. And she didn't get the job. And she got indignant that they weren't willing to pay. She thought she was entitled. I mean, she went to school for 4 years. Why don't you pay me at the top level? Entitlement is a natural inclination of the heart of man. It is not a new invention. So, okay. The point is that we need to be more thankful. And most people would absolutely agree with that. But Paul says something in the end of the section that I read, that, if you think about it, sort of pushes the envelope. He says that Christians, in verse 20, he says that Christians are to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. Well, first of all, don't we have some personal rights before God? I mean, really? No, we don't. We do have promises from God. We have nothing. Do not have a right to anything that we can demand something from God. Well, secondly, are we really supposed to thank God always for everything? What about the hard things, the things that happen to us that bring pain and suffering? Are we supposed to thank God for that? Are Christians supposed to be thankful for failures and suffering and pain? That seems way over the top. Is Paul maybe just using hyperbole here? He's just trying to make some point, so he's sort of overstating it. You know, if this was the only place that we found this, well, you could maybe kind of try to talk yourself into thinking that way. But this call to be thankful in all things is all over the Bible, and particularly in the New Testament. Colossians 2:6 says this, "Therefore, as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." True Christians are to live by faith, abounding in thanksgiving. And then there's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Christians are to give thanks in all circumstances. I think all circumstances means pretty much everything. Then it gives us the reason that we can thank God in all things. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's what God is giving you today. It might be a hard thing, but that's what God is giving you today. God promises blessings in all things. And this should motivate us to be thankful that whatever happens to us, whatever circumstances happen to us as believers, God is behind it all. He's the one that wills everything that happens in our lives. Our prayers in the midst of hard places should always include thanksgiving for what God is already doing, for his promised answer. Our thankfulness is a testimony to our faith in God's goodness. It's a testimony to our faith in God's love for us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. We heard it just a minute ago. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace in the midst of hard, difficult circumstances depends on our faith in God. Our faith in God to answer the prayer and to bless us. And it's trusting in him that that blessing is coming, that answer is coming, so we can thank him. We can thank God for the gracious answer to our prayers, knowing for certain that it is coming and that it will be a blessing. In Romans 8:28, it says this, "We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We can trust God as Christians, as believers who belong to him. We can trust God to work every single event in our lives for our benefit, our blessing. And this promise, which is a delightful promise, applies to everyone who has put their full faith and trust in Jesus and put their faith in him and trusted in him for their lives. Being thankful to God is an expression of that faith in God, an expression of our faith in God's loving promises and response to his people. But there's another quality that sort of keeps us stepping back from being thankful. Being thankful in all things requires humility. And humility doesn't come naturally to sinful mankind. Because of our sin nature, we naturally self-exalt. We are constantly exalting ourselves in our own minds often and also to others as well. If you talk to people, you know, you introduce yourself and you kind of interact with people for a while. This isn't always the case, but pretty much you get people will tell you about themselves in kind of glowing terms. And sometimes if you talk with them for a while, you begin to realize that glowing terms isn't quite accurate. There's a couple of little things they've left out that sort of come into the conversation after a while, and you go, oh, okay. When a person values their life, they often look at their accomplishments, their trophies, and how they are acknowledged by other people. So all the the notable things, when assessing our lives, we often do look at our achievements, the things that have gone on in our lives, the positive responses. And you know, that really isn't the problem. But the problem comes when we attribute those accomplishments to ourselves. We claim ownership of our achievements and we exalt ourselves in comparison to others. We don't humbly thank God, except for maybe the opportunity God gave us, or the circumstances that worked out, or maybe for the talents that he gave me. And we thank him for all these things that we could accomplish, the stuff that brings us praise. There can be confusion about our dependence on God, particularly for immature believers. There was a time in my life when God blessed me in so many ridiculous ways. It was, ridiculous wouldn't be the best thing. My career was going amazingly well. My family was doing well. I was just thanking God all the time. And I loved him, and I knew he was working through my life, and I felt a debt of gratitude that I wanted to pay off. God had been so kind to me. I wanted to give something back to him. So I prayed. I prayed that God would give me an opportunity to do something for him. I wandered through business every now and then, speaking to myself in my head when there was a difficulty is, oh, opportunity to perform. And I would just jump into it and start dealing with stuff. I was the guy that got stuff done. I was thinking, you know, I could do that for God. This will work out great. So I started asking him, you know, could you give me an opportunity to perform for you, Lord? Because you have blessed me so much in my life. Well, God didn't give me a task. In a few weeks of praying and reading God's word, I began to picture my request rolling into the halls of heaven with peals of laughter from everyone. Look at that silly man. He thinks he can give God something. He thinks he can do something for God. God doesn't need anything he has. And God doesn't need him to do a single thing. It became really clear to me that the Christian life is not about doing things for God. It's about God doing things for us. It's about God's grace. Every part of the Christian life depends on God's grace and his favor being poured out into our lives. Even the things that we do for the sake of Christ, the things to please God and that become acceptable before him are impossible apart from God's grace and favor being poured into our lives. If his fingerprints are all over it, it has no value because we don't have anything that God needs. We need and should thank God always for everything, even the hard stuff. When we claim ownership of our achievements and we exalt ourselves in comparison to others, if you take just a minute and think it through, we're stealing God's glory. We're trying to anyway. God's the one that's doing it all. And we're saying, no, I did it. Say, you know, I need recognition for what I did. God speaks pretty harshly about those who steal his glory. There's a lot of verses that speak to that. Isaiah 42:8 says, God says, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. When we take credit for our own achievements, we are dishonoring the grace of God. We're sidestepping it. We're saying, well, God's grace was really helpful, but look what I did. We are not humbly thanking God for all things. We are not humbly acknowledging our complete dependence on God for everything and attributing all good things to him. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. It's not from us accomplishing something that we should be praised for. The ungodly, that's kind of a definition of the ungodly. They are condemned for not thanking God. Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Now there's another way that we can look at our lives and kind of assess things. And it's one that dwells a little bit on the negatives. It has to do with complaining. A person looks at their lives, they look at the difficulties, the sufferings in their lives, and they look at all these things that have happened, and they look at them as robbing them of their success. I could have been something if this hadn't happened, or that would have happened. I could have been successful. I could have been happy. I could have been satisfied. They aren't thankful for their lives. They're working themselves up into being bitter about their supposed bad breaks. When a Christian thinks this way, they are judging God's treatment of them as faulty and unloving. They're not stealing God's glory. They're speaking against it. They're speaking against God's glory and God's grace. They're saying to themselves, and probably to others, God doesn't treat his children very well. They are ungrateful complainers who think they deserve better. And that actually is the issue. Thinking we deserve better. Cultivating an attitude of thanks towards God is a protection from this. When we're thankful to God, we acknowledge our dependence on God, and we begin to see God's blessing and provision even in the hard places. This attitude protects us from thinking too highly of our own achievements or thinking we deserve a better life. The fact is, we deserve nothing. Not even our next breath. Hebrews 1:3 says this, that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe, all things going on in the entire universe, he upholds by the word of his power. Jesus consciously maintains everything, including our next breath, the working of our muscles to breathe. It is by God's grace that we are even here now. And we can thank God for the breath we just took. And we can thank God that he's faithful and I can take another breath. Humble thankfulness to God is a protection against indulging our sinful tendency to exalt ourselves and think we deserve something because we're so whatever, good or productive or whatever fills in that blank. Being grateful and thankful involves acknowledging that we don't deserve anything. It's not a negotiation with God. I'm really thankful for that, but I did this. You know, yeah, God, I'm living this life for you, and you give me all this grace, but I've done this and this and this for you. No, it's not that. It's realizing we didn't even deserve a single thing that seemed good in our lives. It's thanking God for everything. We acknowledge that we don't deserve anything, and that we have no real place for complaining about how we're treated, because remember, we don't deserve anything. An ungrateful heart comes from believing we deserve something from God, or that we have worked up something on our own. We don't deserve anything but our God overflows with love. He showers this world with his grace and favor that none of us deserve. And he shapes every event in a believer's life for their blessing. How can a Christian not give thanks to God always for everything? Christians are called to live a life that reflects our gratitude as we follow Christ in everything that we do. Colossians 3:17 says this, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, through Jesus. An attitude of thankfulness in all things. Acknowledge that we deserve nothing and that God's unmerited grace is the only source of our lives, our accomplishments, our joys, our pleasures, and our delights, and that God promises to actively participate in the life of Christians to shape every event, even the hard ones, for our blessing and benefit. There is nothing in a believer's life that we cannot and should not thank God for. May we all give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you that we're here. We thank you that you've given us life. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to yourself and that you love us and you work in our hearts, in our lives, even in difficult places, to build up in us your character that will carry us into eternity, Lord, to the delights of standing in your presence and delighting in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.